listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage podcast. This is the podcast that's designed to help you save your relationship, no matter where it is. And right now, we're in the middle of a Back to Basics series all about just kind of making it simple, going back to the basics of what's going on. If you were with me in the last episode, you know that I talked about why things get into trouble. What happened? Well, I always want to start with that. You know, what happened here? It's kind of like a look back so you know how to look forward. I don't like to spend a lot of time doing that archaeology dig, but I think it's important for you to understand, at least from a theoretical perspective, exactly how things get in trouble in a relationship. That's kind of why I wrote the book, Marriage Fail Point, to help people understand how this happens, how it gets to that point. So if you remember from that episode, I talked about the fact that there are just a few reasons, really, that are the underlying problems in relationships. There are a lot of symptoms, and sometimes we get stuck on the symptomology, get the symptoms. It's kind of like, you know, you go to the doctor and you say, well, I have a fever. And they say, well, yeah, you have a fever, but here's why you have a fever. So we're talking about why there are symptoms in your relationship, why you might have fights that aren't helpful, why you're constantly butting heads on things, why you can't agree on money or sex or kids or lots of other issues. And so part of what happens, and these are the reasons I covered much more in depth last time, is that you've hit the pause button. The pause button marriage is probably the leading cause of marital decline and dissatisfaction in the world. Now, you hit the pause button for what seems to be a good reason. Kids are coming along. The career's got to grow. You want to do some things while you're young. And what you don't realize is, at that point, relationships don't have a pause button. You can't pause connection. Connections are going in one of two directions. They are either growing or receding. That's it. There's no other option other than that. There's no stagnation point, because even a stagnation point ends up being in decline. So the first reason I talked about was pause button. The second reason is connected to that, because it's disconnection. However it happens, the disconnection in a relationship is what drives it into trouble. That's what causes the pain, the hurt. That's what causes the struggle, because we as humans, as creatures, are designed to be in connection. And when we're not in connection, we feel it. We feel it in terms of pain and anger and frustration. So the disconnection is what comes out of the pause button. The third piece that I talked about was the fact that stagnation, personal stuck, if you will, is one of the elements of it. When we aren't growing ourselves, when we're not expanding ourselves, we grow stagnant. Now, a lot of times we keep thinking in adulthood, we finally have arrived, right? We're no longer learning. And the fact is that we are learning creatures. That's what humans do. We learn, we expand, or we kind of grow stagnant. And stagnation is what you drag into your relationship. So stagnation is the same as being stuck. Then the final piece that I talked about was that missing element, not being a we, not having a mindset that we are in this together. When you don't have that mindset, it ends up being you versus me. For a long time, you can get away with that. In the early stages of a relationship, you can do you and me for a good while. But eventually, you and me gets you and the other person into trouble, because you're struggling with the intimacy that's there without the sense of being on the same team. When does it show itself? Usually when things get a little sticky, whether it's kids or some financial problems or health problems or some other thing that interferes with kind of the flow. And suddenly you're in trouble. Maybe you lose a job and suddenly somebody's going, hey, I'm putting in my share. Where's your share, right? Or maybe the kids are coming along and you're going, hey, how are we going to deal with this? How are you going to deal with being a parent? How am I going to deal with being a parent? How are we going to parent this without coming together as a we? You can use the words, but not have the mindset. So those are the pieces of the elements of how relationships get into trouble. Now that you know how they get into trouble, the question is, what do you do to address those underlying issues? So first of all, let's go back to that symptom thing and understand the difference between symptom and cause. We talked about the causes. The symptoms are what bring people into a therapist, just like something will bring you into a doctor's office. It's just a symptom. Years ago when I was sick, you know, I had symptoms. I had body aches and I had lots of different weird symptoms in my body, but I didn't know what it was. So I had to go to a doctor for them to give me the diagnosis. So whatever symptoms come in, like arguing, when you're arguing about the money, the kids, family, all those other pieces, those are symptoms. The arguing is symptoms, and especially when the arguing is not getting you anywhere. If you've had that realization that you keep having the same argument over and over again and make no progress, you can recognize that arguing is an issue because you're not making it anywhere. You're not making any progress in whatever's going on. You're not getting to the underlying stuff. The second symptom that people often feel is that feeling of desperation or hurt. This whole wiring that we all have of needing connection means that when we don't have connection, we're going to feel it as a physical manifestation, not just psychological. You may not know it, but the same place that triggers physical pain in the body triggers when we are feeling that disconnection from somebody else. And you can probably tell those symptoms where you feel kind of desperate to figure out how to get forward with this and some desperation to feel better about things. All of those are the symptoms. Sometimes it shows itself as a lack of intimacy. Now, I'm not just talking here about sex. Intimacy on all levels, when it's missing, it's both a cause of disconnection and a symptom of disconnection, because when you're not connected, you don't want to be close to somebody. You don't want to be intimate with somebody, and yet you're desperate for that connection. And it ends up being a struggle. Another symptom is another kind of struggling with decisions. Couples are fighting about who's going to win if a decision is made. Maybe it's better for one or the other to move somewhere, or one or the other to take a certain job, or one or the other to do some activity. And they're not looking at it from how does it affect the we? How does it affect everyone? So those are symptoms, but they're not the cause. The cause is deeper than that. The cause is what we talked about, that disconnection. So then the question is, what do we do in order to move forward? The problem is this. Many times people go after the symptoms, and that doesn't get to the underlying cause. Let's say you go to the doctor and you are running a fever, and they say, well, I don't really care what caused this, but you can take a little bit of Tylenol and it'll make you feel better. Sure, it may make your temperature go down, but is it addressing anything underlying? What if there's an infection underneath there? And so you take some medicine and your body's trying to fight off that infection, and all you're doing is cutting back on your body's own natural response to that. You can see that you're never getting to the real issue. You're never getting to the core of it. You're only kind of playing a game of getting rid of the symptoms, or as I call it in dealing with these marital symptoms, whack-a-mole. You know that game. You hit one, another pops up out of another hole. You hit that one down, another one pops up, and you hit that one down, another one pops up, and it's kind of like that in marriages. Many times couples go after symptom after symptom after symptom only to see the next symptom pop up and the next symptom popped up, and they're wondering why they can't make any headway. It's because they're never addressing the underlying pieces. This is why I developed the 3C approach. When I wrote my book, How to Save Your Marriage in 3 Simple Steps, you'll notice that there are 3 simple steps, not easy steps, but simple steps. So first, understand that as I'm talking about this, this back to basics thing is how to simplify the process. That doesn't make it easy. As many people have heard me talk about, I've been doing jiu-jitsu now for a little over a year, which makes me basically an advanced basic student, an advanced white belt. And because of that, you know, it gives me a lot of room to be growing and changing. And sometimes I'll see some move that looks so simple until I try to operationalize it, until I try it out and I realize that there are lots of details to it. That can often be the case. So understand that as we're going through this, when I say simple, that's not the same as saying it's going to be an easy process. But if we break it down, you understand the process and you understand how to move forward. So let's talk through those three C's, because these are the three areas that you need to address as you're trying to improve your relationship, no matter where your relationship is. Let's say you have a pretty good relationship, but you want it to be great. These three C's still apply. Let's say your relationship is on the rocks. These three C's apply. In my marriage, I think about these three areas. Where am I falling short? How can I improve them? We've been married now for over 30 years, and I continue to ask that same question. Where am I missing one of these three C's? How do I need to activate that in my own life? How can I take it further? What's the next piece of this? So understand that when I'm telling you this is a way of saving a relationship, it's also the way you improve a relationship. Okay, so let's talk about these three C's. The first one, it may not surprise you, is connect. If connection is missing, and that's what's driving all of this, you have to replace the connection. Now, let me be very clear. That's not enough, but it's an important element. When you build that connection, you're bringing healing into the hurt that's caused by the disconnection. I want you to think of connection kind of like the lifeblood of a relationship. It's not a personal lifeblood. It's a lifeblood of a relationship. It's what keeps that lifeblood, that relationship nurtured. Because if it's not happening there, people will find that somewhere else. They'll find the connection somewhere else, whether it's at their job or with their kids or their pets or their friends or in an affair. They're going to find the connection if it's missing in the marriage. So it's not a matter of whether they're going to find connection, but whether they find it in the appropriate place in the relationship. So I want you to think about that as a lifeblood, and what happens if something messes with the flow of lifeblood, right, in your own body. Let's say that you've got the blood flowing and something chokes some off. Maybe your circulation stops, maybe your heart stops or something. That causes some problems. But let's say it's just constricted. It can cause some damage. One of the things, back to jiu-jitsu, we often talk about are chokes, blood chokes with people. And there's one where you kind of get the person from behind and you wrap your arm around their neck and you close off their jugular vein. And if you do it long enough, they'll pass out. Now, understand, if you do it long enough, they'll die. Well, there's an analogy here that if you hold on to the relationship and constrict the connection between you for too long, you can choke off the relationship and get to the point where it can't be brought back. But let's just say it's been constricted long enough that it's kind of passing out, that it's just getting itself into trouble. When you work to restore the flow, the blood flow, right, the lifeblood flow, the connection, when you restore the pulse, as it moves through the body, it can bring healing to the relationship. So understand that connection has three different levels to it. The first is physical. That's the one that many people automatically associate with connection, intimacy. Now, physical touch is part of our wiring too. You watch as babies are born, they want to be cuddled and held. If you're familiar with that old psychological test where they checked on a baby monkey, and the baby monkey would choose a cold or a warm blanketed wire structure over a cold wire structure that would give it food. It would choose the nurture over the food to the point of starving itself because it was so desperate for that kind of connection. Babies need to be held and cuddled because that connection helps their development and helps them bond. But we don't get rid of that when we're adults. We still need that connection, physical connection. So when we talk about physical connection in a marriage, we're talking about all levels of that, holding hands, hugging, kissing, sex. Anytime there is physical contact that is loving and gentle, that counts for this physical connection. When there's violence, that doesn't count. But when there is love behind that physical connection of any type, that is part of physical intimacy or physical connection. The second type is emotional connection. It's kind of the feeling that you understand each other, you get each other. You know that feeling when maybe you've had a hard day, or it might be more true in the past, where you would just sit down and look at each other and go, oh, and understand that it's just been a tough day. Or maybe one of you said, hey, what's going on with your day? And the other person talks about it. And it felt like you were understood. Emotional connection is often the way that people first connect. It's like they come from the same place. It's like they come from the same mind, and they have this deep emotional connection between them that then spirals into the next type of connection, which is spiritual connection. Spiritual connection is when you talk about your beliefs or share your beliefs, and when you share a sense that you are in the same place with those beliefs, or when you share the sense that you support each other in that. It's also true when you share your aspirations, your hopes, your dreams. I remember the early conversations with my wife, at that point just acquaintance, and we talked for hours about what was important to us. That's spiritual connection. We talked for hours about what was going on in our lives. That's emotional connection. And that's part of what nurtures any relationship, and it often what ends up happening in a marriage is the spiritual connection goes out the window very early on. People stop talking about their dreams, their hopes, their aspirations. Soon, they might not even be talking about how the day went. And soon, the physical connection drops away too. So part of the task of saving a relationship is getting back to the place where that physical connection, that emotional connection, and that spiritual connection is restored. If you're wondering which one is the easiest to restore, it's emotional connection. Many times, once people are at a place of disconnection, they are very guarded about the physical connection, and they don't care much about the spiritual connection. So you have to work on the emotional connection to get there. So C number one is connect. C number two, change yourself. Change yourself. Now, let me be very clear. I don't know you. I don't know if there's something wrong with you. I don't know if there's some psychological issue you have, and that's not what I'm talking about anyway. Many times when I talk about this, people say, oh, you think there's something wrong with me. Not at all. This is not about something being wrong with you. It's about whether you're growing. Are you making yourself more right, more yourself, growing into a greater sense of being? This is a C that you always have within your control. Sometimes a spouse is so upset, so angry, so hurt that there is no place to get back to that connection at this point. But you always have a chance of growing and changing yourself. This is about your place of self-expansion. How are you growing into being more and more? Self-expansion is not just about, you know, the self-help world. It can be anything. It could be a new hobby, traveling, trying new foods, listening to new music, going to concerts, going to museums, going anywhere that's kind of a change of pace for you that brings in something new, something that kind of broadens your perspectives, broadens your horizons. Self-expansion is also, by the way, ranked very high in why marriages survive. When couples feel that their self-expansion is supported by a spouse, there's a much higher likelihood that they will report marital satisfaction and stay in the relationship. So you can work on supporting a spouse's self-expansion while you're also supporting your own self-expansion. Now, as part of that, there's a subcategory of self-expansion, which is about self-responsibility, of being able to stand up and saying, hey, I was responsible for that. I take responsibility for that. Now, sometimes that really is about saying, I did the wrong thing. I didn't do what I know is best. And I talk about apology letters in my system and in my VIP program. I even include some specific training on how to do that apology letter because it's so important to be able to say, hey, I'm taking responsibility. But the second layer of responsibility is that word, responsibility, the ability to respond differently, choosing how you want to respond in the midst of a relationship. When you're choosing how you want to respond in the midst of a relationship, you bring new possibility into it. So part of the task is for us to be asking the question, where do I need to step into responsibility? Because that brings in the other piece of this, a shift to control in the appropriate way. Many times people come to my office and tell me about their controlling spouse. And usually when somebody is saying that somebody's being controlling, what they're really noting is that person is trying to control things that are not within somebody's control. So part of the task of this growth, of this changing yourself, is stepping into the place where control really happens. If you're not familiar, I have several different podcasts on my Thriveology podcast about what you can control and what you can't control. And it's very useful for you to understand the elements that go into how you can truly step into truly controlling what you truly can control, so you can let go of the places you can't. Now that brings us to the third area, the third C, which is about creating a new path. Creating a new path is really about that establishing a we that probably was never there. Creating a new path is really trying to establish for you and the relationship a new way of being within the relationship, that we are a team. Now, one of the interesting things about being a we is that probably 90%, maybe more, is all internal, how you think about it yourself. There are some pieces that kind of outflow from that, how you make decisions as a couple, how you move through life as a couple, how you understand resources as a couple. All that's based in how you think internally. So the external spillover of day-to-day life happens because internally you've already made a shift to we. That's a shift that you can also make for yourself. So as you're beginning to work through that, recognize that one way we mess with we is when we chase and demand. Because when you're chasing someone and demanding something from somebody, trying to control them, you have moved the opposite way, not towards we, but away from we. We is about we're in this as a team together. We have some footing in this together where we stand as partners in this. So creating a new path gives you that third piece, that third C. So very quickly, just to kind of remind ourselves, connection is what gets hung up. And the reason it gets hung up is for most people, they've hit the pause button. And when they've done that, it's created disconnection and stagnation, and they never get to a we. So the 3C approach is how we move away from the symptoms and playing whack-a-mole, and how we move to the causes. And the 3C approach means that we work on connection, on changing yourself, and on creating a new path. These are the elements that make up the Save the Marriage system and all of my other work. As I'm working on helping people to restore their relationship, I base it in that work. Our coaches and I all work from the 3C model. That gives you a good foundation. And if you need more further help from this, if you need how to actualize this, that's the time to grab the Save the Marriage system. You now know what 3Cs need to happen. Let's talk about how you get that done. You can find out more about the Save the Marriage system by going to savethemarriage.com. If you'd rather not mess with that, you just want to grab the system, go to savethemarriage.com/grab. That's savethemarriage.com/grab. But take action. You now know the 3Cs that are a part of this. Next time, we're going to talk about the 4Cs of the way you carry out your plan. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.